Brother Glenn has asked that we read from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. You thankful that Jesus is accessible? He's here. But he also is everywhere else I go. And I can reach out and touch him, so to speak. Not literally, but reach out and touch him. And you know what? His hand is waiting. And he touches me and he touches you. And he takes what we give him and carries it. And makes a difference, doesn't he? Oh, what needless, how's the wording of the hymn? Things we bear. If we would just give it to him. I've found that to be true. There's times I'm bearing things that I wouldn't have to. All because I haven't really taken it to him in prayer. And I've found the other side to be true too. When I take it to him, there's a peace that only he can give. Romans 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing love. Incredible love. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amazing results, isn't it? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. For all who are able, we would ask that you would kneel for prayer.
Good morning, in Christ's holy name. Good to fellowship and worship with each of you this morning. And as Brother Duane was reading a scripture, he paused and he said, "Amazing results." I didn't think he saw my title. Pretty close, and I could change it to that. Results of the cross of Christ. And they are amazing, as Brother Duane interjected there as he read the scripture. This morning, as we sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus," in verse 2, we sang about Jesus dying for us. As we read there in verse 8 of what Brother Duane read, results of the cross of Christ. In this passage here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, we don't exactly see that phrase, cross of Christ. We do see it in Scripture, and we want to visit a few of them this morning. But it certainly is implied here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it definitely referred to the cross of Christ. For example, the second part of verse 6, "In due time Christ died for the ungodly." The second part of verse 8, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And also verse 11, referring to this phrase, the cross of Christ, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And I don't claim this is an inexhaustible list. I don't claim this is the whole list when we consider the results of the cross of Christ, but it's a little list that I put together, and I'm sure there are others. But number one this morning, the cross of Christ, the result of the cross of Christ is justification. Justification, as we read here in Romans chapter 5, 1, being therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And also in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, part of our text, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. A wonderful, amazing result of the cross of Christ this morning is justification. As the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary, and as we acknowledge that, and as we embrace that, and as we receive that personally, God then looks at us as if we've never sinned. Number one, result of the cross of Christ, justification. Number two, result of the cross of Christ, peace with God. Another amazing result, peace with God. And we have that also in verse 1. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. And it's all through our Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross, who was nailed there, who died there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Speaking of peace here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, there's that phrase, the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth, in earth, or things in heaven. When we consider the peace that we have with God, it is not a feeling that we're talking about. It is a standing. It is where we stand in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, by the cross of Christ. Not a feeling, it is a standing. It is where he places us. And if you don't feel it one day, it doesn't mean it went anywhere. It is a standing that we have with our great God and our Savior who loved us and went to the cross. Number three, result of the cross of Christ, reconciliation. And this is closely related to that result that we call peace. And certainly a lot of these results of the cross of Christ this morning are interrelated. And they complement each other and they overlap. I understand that. But we still want to go through the list. Third result of the cross of Christ, reconciliation. And in our text, Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Speaking of being reconciled and that result of the cross, reconciliation with God, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, reconciliation. Ephesians 2, 13 to 16, but now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off are made nigh, are made close by the blood of Christ. And for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Peace with God and reconciliation with God resulting from the cross of Christ. A goal, an end result of the sermon this morning would be that you and I would cherish, would embrace wholeheartedly, and love to the death the cross of Christ. That we would cling to it. You know, in the Sunday school lesson, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you exchange the cross of Christ for today? What would you exchange the cross of Christ for tomorrow? Whenever things really get miserable on this earth. There's nothing, my people, there is nothing. Don't ever exchange the cross of Christ for anything here below that is going to perish. The Jews had access to God through his temple in Jerusalem. So they were said to be nigh. This scripture that we just read here, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Jew had access to God through temple worship, where God dwelt, and so they were said to be nigh. But Gentiles were geographically or physically removed from the temple and were said to be far off. Well, those terms of space came to denote moral distance as well. In the conflict and the enmity there between Jew and Gentile. You know, verse 14, he is our peace who hath made both one. He hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. You know, Jesus took these two antagonistic groups and he formed one new one. He formed the church of Jesus Christ by removing the middle wall. And that middle wall was the Mosaic law. That is what he very clearly removed in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It was against us because we couldn't keep them. It was against us, the Mosaic law and these ordinances, they were against us because in the flesh we were weak. And it's a beautiful explanation of that in Romans chapter 8, the first couple of verses, how Jesus Christ stepped in there. Where we could not keep the law, and it was against us, and it condemned us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. And what did he do with it? He nailed it to his cross. Hallelujah. Results of the cross of Christ. I made a mess. Thank you, brother. All mankind was in debt to the law and couldn't do anything about it. Was headed for hell. But Christ, by his cross, blotted it out. He removed it. He got rid of it. He got rid of that debt. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, Jew and Gentile. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Second Corinthians and chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He who knew no sin. Jesus Christ knew no sin. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we'll get to that, what that's all about, with a later result. In fact, we're there. Number four result of the cross of Christ, imputation. And for children or whoever doesn't understand that big word, imputation simply means a transferring of something from one account to another. It kind of has the language of a bank account, transferring from one man's account to another account. And here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read of a double imputation, a double transfer, an amazing result of the cross of Christ. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. It says in 1 Peter that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And so our sin was transferred to the pure and sinless Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, Jesus Christ's righteousness was given to you and I who were bankrupt. We had none. The prophet in the Old Testament says our righteousness is as filthy rags. In our righteousness, we would never be able to muster up any to get rid of even one sin. And so we're stuck in the Mosaic law, and we're in debt. But that's been blotted out. It's been nailed to his cross. Imputation. To not impute sin, that means to forgive. And that is my number five result of the cross of Christ, forgiveness. What were some of Jesus' wonderful words of life that he spoke from the cross? Isn't it interesting, the cross of Christ? The cross is a symbol of death. But from that symbol of death, from his cross of death, Christ spoke words of life. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they which, whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. When God does not impute, when he does not count it to our account where it really belongs, we are forgiven. A result of the cross of Christ. Christ's vicarious death. Vicarious simply means substitute, in substitute for. Christ was our substitute. Christ's vicarious death on the cross was deficient for none, sufficient for all, but efficient only for those who embrace the cross of Christ, who believe. Christ's vicarious death was deficient for none, sufficient for all, but only efficient, only effective, if you embrace it If I embrace it, if I believe it with all my heart, that he hung there for me in my place as my substitute, the vicarious death of Christ. A number six result of the cross of Christ this morning, atonement. In Romans chapter 5, the last verse that Brother Duane read, Romans 5, verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We have received the atonement by Christ, by Jesus Christ. Right here in our text, Romans chapter 5, verse 11, the word atonement actually means reconciliation. There's an overlap of terms here. But that's really what it means. It means to be reconciled. It means to satisfy. And so by the cross of Christ, we are atoned for. Our sins are satisfied. And there will be another word for that as well. Number seven, result of the cross of Christ. By the cross of Jesus Christ, you and I, who have been very unholy, very sinful, are made holy. By the cross of Christ, we are made holy. Colossians for this. Colossians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, through the cross of Christ, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That is amazing. Verse 22 there, in the body of his flesh, his body was broken, his body was bruised, it was beaten, it was torn on the cross of Christ. Christ was torn and beaten, and there he died to present you holy and unblameable, and unreprovable. Wow. Can you rejoice today that you are a Christian? That there is a cross of Christ? Today, my brother, my sister, do you cherish the cross of Christ? Does it mean more to you than anything in this world? Do you embrace the cross of Christ? Do you cling to it for life? We cling to that symbol of death for life. Made holy. And a number of these results are listed here in this Colossians chapter 1 scripture. Peace, reconciliation, made holy. All through death, all through the cross of Christ. You know, morality might keep you out of jail. Morality, you know, living a decent earthly life and not breaking the laws that are out there, morality may keep you out of jail. But it takes the blood of Christ to keep you out of hell. I borrowed that from Charles Spurgeon, but wow. Morality may keep you out of jail, but it takes the blood of Christ to keep you out of hell. The cross of Christ, a missionary was once asked, give us proof of the transforming power of the cross. He replied, when I arrived here on the mission field, my first duty was to bury the hands, arms, feet, and hearts of 80 victims whose bodies had been roasted and eaten at a cannibal feast. I lived to see those very cannibals who had taken part in such horrible feasts sit around the Lord's table. The power of the cross. The disciples were changed people because of the power of the cross and the resurrection. They were totally different people. And they went forth with the power of the gospel, with boldness and with courage, and laid their lives down for the cross of Christ so that they could indeed live. That's what the scripture says. When we love our life, we shall lose it. When we hate our life, then we shall find it. When we keep it for ourselves, we lose it. When we lose it for Christ's sake, we find it. Kind of a paradox. Number 8, result of the cross of Christ. Propitiation. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And he, that is Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Also there in that epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When God is propitiated, his just demands that sin be punished is satisfied in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He is our wrath for sin satisfier. He satisfies God's wrath for our sin. And so the cross of Christ results in propitiation. It results in Christ being satisfied that our sins have been paid for. Result number 10, or result number 9, the cross of Christ results in redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean satisfieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. In the cross of Christ there is redemption. To be redeemed is to be bought. It is to be bought back from our lost condition and from the realm of Satan and from the realm of darkness. We are bought back by the redemption, by the cross of Christ, by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. These words overlap, but these wonderful words this morning they're all given birth in the beautiful cross of Christ. I want to consider a tenth result of the cross of Christ. A tenth result of the cross of Christ is offense and persecution. The cross of Christ is to crucify the world to us and us to the world. Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. Galatians 5, verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. Speaking of this result of the cross of Christ as offense and persecution, Galatians 6, 12 to 14. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory. Save. There's something we can glory in today, and I hope we are. Save in the cross of Christ. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Are we crucified unto the world? Is the world crucified unto us? Do they think we're pathetic? Do they think we're with no life. Our life is hidden with in God, in Christ Jesus, there in Colossians chapter 3. The cross of Christ is to crucify the world to us and us to the world. The transformation of the blood-stained wooden cross, I want you to think about this a little bit. The transformation of the blood-stained wooden cross of Calvary to the diamond-studded gold cross of a cathedral may well signify man's attempt to remove the offense of the cross of Christ. I believe it well may be that the transformation of the blood-stained wooden cross of Calvary to the diamond-studded gold cross of a cathedral signifies man's attempt to remove the offense of the cross of Christ. It's an offense to man. It's offensive to men in this world. Proud, you know, it attacks a person's pride to acknowledge and to embrace a cross where a Savior died and offers salvation, offers forgiveness of sin. That's an offense to many, because in pride, man wants to somehow make it on his own and get it done on his own and not rely on someone dying on a cross. Result number 10 here, the offense and persecution. Result number 11 of the cross of Christ, the new covenant was established by the cross of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, by means of the cross of Christ, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Also verses 16 and 17, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death, the cross, the death of the testator, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Christ's sinless life could not establish the new covenant or the new testament. Did you hear what I said? Christ's sinless life could not establish the new covenant or the new testament. His death and shed blood, the cross of Christ, was necessary. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Without the cross of Christ, there is no remission. Without the death of Christ, the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no new covenant. There is no new testament without the cross of Christ. Without his death, without his shed blood. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3. This is where I was for my last Sunday morning sermon, looking for Jesus. But I want to remind us of something here again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so when we lift up the cross of Christ this morning, and we embrace it, and we cherish it, and we look about, and we think about the wonderful results, we are reminded also in the Word of God that there are some, and it is how they walk. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. And they mind earthly things. They mind the flesh. And they glory in their shame. This is who they are. And Paul's warning there in Philippians chapter 3 is that you don't walk after them. That you mark them, that you note them, that you take special note of them, that they're not walking according to the cross of Christ. They're opposing the cross of Christ. And so there are enemies of the cross of Christ. A result number 12 this morning of the cross of Christ. The result of the cross of Christ is the power of God. The power of God. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We better be careful that we never make the cross of Christ of no effect. That's what it says there. That's sobering. To preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross of Christ is the power of God. Result number 12, the power of God from the cross of Christ. And may we all say this morning with the apostle in Romans chapter 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God, the gospel of Christ. I think I want to end this message by reading from Mark chapter 15. It was mentioned in Sunday school that we've never witnessed a crucifixion, but we can read about one. We can read about the cross of Christ. This scripture is more important than anything I can say. So I'm going to read it. Mark chapter 15, verses 20. To 37. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him onto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of his skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, and what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. I just want to take note here. I want to encourage us, and myself included, to embrace the cross over all that this earth ever can throw at you. Jesus Christ embraced his own cross. He's being ridiculed. He's being mocked. Where is your power? If you are who you say you are, you can certainly come down. Yes, he could have, but he embraced it. He embraced his own cross. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Verse 31, likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Jesus Christ stayed on the cross. He embraced it. And when the sixth hour was come, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elijah. And one ran and filled his sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost.
It is amazing. Let's kneel for prayer.